Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Much has been said throughout our country's history on the state of marriage in the African-American community. Some of it ridiculously outlandish, some of it right on point, some of it somewhere in between. We've had scientific racism and then the Moynihan Report and now Tyler Perry. Lots of ways to view marriage in the black community, some of them controversial. But the fact is, statistically, the marriage rate has declined for all Americans over the past 40 years, and it's declined much faster in the black community. Ralph Richard Banks is professor of Stanford Law School. His new book is called Is Marriage for White People? Rick, good morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thanks for getting up early for us. I mean, first of all, the title is very provocative, Is Marriage for White People? And to a certain extent, that's not entirely what the book is about. The question for me seems to be on whether marriage is good for black communities, and your answer seems to be yes.
Yes, it is. I do say that the one meaning of the title is marriage for white people and not for black people. And my answer to that is yes, marriage is a good thing for African Americans, in particular for children. And that's really the crux of the matter. 70% of black children are born to unmarried parents. And, you know, that's not a development that we should feel positive about.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the new data that you've sifted in your research. And part is, I mentioned the Moynihan Report. The Moynihan Report focused on poor communities, lower-income communities.
Mm-hmm.
You studied marriage in the black middle class. Why?
That's a great point. What I wanted to do was to try to illuminate a set of experiences that have not been given any attention. There are lots of studies of marriage generally among whites and other groups, and there are lots of studies of marriage among poor blacks, sort of inner-city neighborhoods and, you know, blue-collar men and women who have children without being married and are on welfare and so forth. But there was actually very little sustained academic examination of the experiences of middle-class African Americans. And the sort of discussions of middle-class African Americans that we do have are all sort of sensationalized or superficial or, you know, just not very thoughtful. So what I wanted to try to do was to replace all the opinion with some expertise and some insight and some information.
And what you discovered was, especially when you're looking at the middle class, was a huge gulf between the state of affairs for the genders. I mean, the fact is that in terms of education, black men and black women are far apart from each other.
Yes, the crux of the matter, and this is probably the most dispiriting statistic in the entire book, is that nearly twice as many black women graduate college as black men. Nearly twice as many. And that fact shapes the intimate terrain for black men and women alike.
So what does that mean? We're speaking with Ralph Richard Banks. He joins us from Stanford Law School, where he's a professor, and his new book is called Is Marriage for White People? So you have this huge disparity in education levels between black men and black women. What does that mean in terms of marriage?
Well, it means two different things. One thing it means is that it means three different things. One thing it means is that many black women remain unmarried simply because they have a shortage of partners. Second thing that means is that many black women marry men who are less educated than they are. More than half of college-educated black women who are married have husbands who are less educated than they are. Because education is increasingly related to economic outcomes, these women are also going to earn more than their husbands increasingly, and that can breed problems in a relationship. And third, and most surprisingly, the shortage of men actually lowers their marriage rates too. So even college-educated black men are less likely to marry than their white peers, and part of that's because those men have so much power in their relationships with women because the men are scarce, and they can then dictate the terms. And in what may be surprising to some but not to others, when men can dictate the terms of the relationships, they often choose not to marry.
Who is that a surprise to, Rick?
Well, I don't know. Well,
let me just ask you. You are married yourself, and I don't think I'm giving anything away to say that you are African-American. So in your book, you argue, to a certain extent, surprisingly, that you feel like that for black women, for the reasons we've just been speaking about, interracial marriage could actually serve the African-American community. What do you mean?
Right. So 2 points there. One is that if more black women open themselves to men of other races, these women, many women, in fact, would find better relationships with non-black men than they do with black men. And I know that's controversial.
Yeah.
But they'd find better relationships because for college-educated women in particular, they'd be able to find a relationship with a man who has a similar educational experience, similar aspirations, similar values, similar outlook on life, even if that man is of a different race. For most of these women, they're either remaining unmarried or they're marrying a black man who is of a much different socioeconomic situation. And you know, it's probably the case that compatibility is more now a result of class similarity than it is racial commonality. Mm. So those women would benefit. Moreover, black women who are open themselves to men of other races are counteracting or diminishing the power imbalance that they're in with black men that gives black men the upper hand. And if they could help to counteract that power imbalance, that would actually help African-American couples as well, because black women could then become more the deal makers rather than simply the deal takers in a relationship.
And one can only assume that it would help children as well if they're in a family situation where the educational attainments of both parents are similar. I want to – we only have about a minute or so left, and we're speaking with Rick Banks, whose new book is called Is Marriage for White People? And a couple people that you point to in your book are Tyler Perry and Steve Harvey. I want to read this real quickly. You write, these movies that they make hilariously, sometimes melodramatically, mine a populist down-home sentiment that runs through black culture. Black women undermine their own happiness, these movies suggest, by insisting on a man who makes as much money as they do or is as well educated as they do, as they are.
Yes, these pop culture representations that make black women seem responsible for their own plight and make black women seem like they're asking for too much, those are misguided and have led to disastrous consequences. Black women would do better to give more weight to class and less weight to race.
It is. You're certainly not afraid to stir things up, are you?
Well, I'm trying to just speak the truth with love.
Ralph Richard Banks is the author of Is Marriage for White People? He's a professor of law at Stanford Law School. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Fascinating book. You can keep this conversation going. I definitely want to get people's opinions on this. Share your stories. Head over to thetakeaway.org. And while you're there at the website, we have a special project that we want you to check out there. Stories from Generation 9/11. We've got photos. We have interviews with survivors, first responders, witnesses, more. They're all reflecting on yesterday's anniversary of 9/11. We have playlists, the kind of music that people listen to commemorate 9/11. You can hear those stories. We also want you to add your own. Just because the 10th anniversary has passed, that doesn't mean the United States has stopped thinking about 9/11 or digesting exactly what it means. So head over to our website, thetakeaway.org, and share your stories. Maybe you even have took pictures during the anniversary yesterday. Whatever it is, upload it. Use our Takeaway iPhone app or simply upload it to the website at thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headley. John Hockenberry is out for just a few days. This is The Takeaway.